Welcome to O2 Coaching's Empower Your Team podcast series with your host, Chloe Caron, founder and president of O2 Coaching. As an executive coach, author, businesswoman, thought leader, and speaker with more than 20 years of experience, Chloe's USC, her unique strategic contribution, is to create a new generation of inspiring and inspired leaders by positively impacting the lives of 1 million leaders through her webinars, conferences, books, and podcasts. In this podcast series, Chloe and her guests will take you on a journey, sharing their leadership stories, struggles, successes, and learnings. The conversations will highlight practical advice and insights for leaders. Be sure to share your thoughts on this podcast series on our LinkedIn or Facebook pages. Enjoy this podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Chloe Caron, and I'm so excited that you're here with us for our Empower Your Team podcast. This podcast is a behind the scene of the book that I've written with the same title, Empower Your Team. In the book, I've made some interviews with leaders, and that really ignited me because I've learned a ton with them. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if my audience, my readers, could actually have the same benefit of not only learning from these wonderful leaders, but from more leaders. So that's what I offer you every week in this podcast. You get to meet a new leader that is generous enough to sharing their insights, their challenges, their learnings, their tips, their successes with you, with all of us. And so I invite you, go ahead and subscribe. And I look forward to seeing you or hearing you and hearing your comments and questions for our series of podcasts, Empower Your Team. In the meantime, be inspired and inspired. Welcome, everybody, to our Empower Your Team podcast. Today, I am so excited because we have the perfect guest for our topic today, which is Paul Lirette. Paul, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to have you because you and I have known each other for 20 years, almost even perhaps a bit more when I was at GSK. And you are now the GM for Japan. But before that, you were in Australia as the GM, same in Canada. You've been to London. You've done it all. You've traveled the whole world with GSK, all that with GSK, which is very rare. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Arigato gozaimasu.
Arigato, Paul-san. You just told me that you were, prior to this recording, you told me that you were in Japan for the past 2.5 years.
I know.
Time flies. Time flies. That's what have you learned from your experience in Japan so far?
Yeah, I mean, first thing first, reminds me that actually 3 years ago, I was speaking with Emma Wensley. She's our CEO at GSK. And I was general manager in Canada, and she asked me, what would you like to do next? And I said, Emma, I love what I do, right? This is me, right? I love to be general manager. However, if you were to give me another opportunity, I would say, give me a bigger market. Give me a market that actually it's more complex. And also give me a way bigger footprint. So first thing first, I've learned, Chloe, be careful what you wish for.
Because you're going to get it.
Right, exactly. So in a way, what I didn't know back then is I was describing Japan. So it's an amazing journey. I'm privileged to be here. I've learned so much.
Japan is the second biggest market, if I'm not mistaken. It's a huge market.
Right. That's correct. So I'm privileged to be here.
Yes. And privileged to learn, because that's one thing I've learned from you, is you never stop learning. And
that's
even
correct.
Though you're at the top, or what seems the top for a lot of people, you're still on a learning journey.
Absolutely. I mean, see, one of the things over the years that I always receive some feedback, I said, Paul, you go too fast, right? You remember those days. And I got feedback right in my face here because, A, you got to speak very slowly in English. So I had no choice to face this, to slow down even when I speak to my Japanese colleagues. Yeah, back to what you said, I'm learning every single day. It's a beautiful journey for us.
And you actually have a listen and learn tour, which I've seen you do when you came in Canada as GM. And
right.
That was such an amazing journey, which I think really helped you in different ways and helped create the culture you wanted to create within that market. You did the same in Japan, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, I was, as you said, general manager for Australia, did the same thing in Europe, in Canada. And I developed in a way a sort of a framework in terms of how I do get into a business. And let me tell you shortly the story about the listen and learn here, which is similar to Canada, Australia. I spoke with, when I started here, with 450 people, which is 10% of our employees. And the trick is you always ask the same questions to people for 3 months. You got to be careful with your body language. You also don't want to jump to conclusion too quickly. And we came up with a plan. And what we did is we actually presented my observation. We send my observation to all employees, right? First move, transparencies. I've learned one thing, right? Everyone thought that in Japan, people don't speak up. Actually, no. We always had a group of between 9 to 12 people. And when you pay attention, when you listen carefully, they actually do speak up. So we came up with this observation document that we provide again to all of them. I recruited some very eager people to be able to willing to get into the journey. And then I moved to the very important step, Chloe, is to take the time to explain the why we are in business. Critical. We tend to forget this all the time. And I spend months to explain the why. And then also I've talked about it, our values and expectation. So it's important to know the why, but how are you going to behave, right? What's your ways of working? And we spend a lot of time on this. Throughout this period, is it very important as a leader that I walk the talk? Lots of good learning out of this lesson and learned tour that I highly recommend it, right? Because I know you love to talk about real conversation and all of this, but if you don't establish trust with employees at the start, it's impossible. Long story to your good question.
And it's not a long story because that's your recipe for creating that environment where you can actually have those real conversations. Because as you say, that's how you build trust. So I just want to make sure those steps are summarized. So you listen first. And so you have a set of questions. They're the same. And for the next 3 months, as you get into a new position, in your case, a new country, but any leader in a new position leading a team would say, okay, for the next couple of weeks, months, whatever period, I ask the same questions to a group of people and I just listen. I suspend judgment is what I heard from you, which is hard.
To understand, it's difficult.
Yes.
And the reason you got to keep asking the same question is simple, because if you don't ask the questions number three, people will say, oh, he already made his decision on it. Oh, my opinion is not important. Question number three. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a voice.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever the question, ask them all and listen. And I remember seeing you in some of the comm cells because part of that process and framework that you've established, comm cells, which we can explain later. But I've seen you in conversations with teams where you were just listening and really holding yourself from participating as you were showcasing the importance of that in order for things to bubble up. That's the purpose.
One of the things that I need to watch when I listen, I got that feedback. I need to watch my body language.
Because your body says it all.
You don't speak. Yeah, exactly. So you got to be careful. And especially in Japan, they pay a lot of attention on this. Mm. Your facial expression. They look at the eyes. Yes. They know if you listen or if you don't. They know if you're happy or you're not.
But what a great reminder, though, that listening and communication is only 7% words. Mm. 93% is what you're saying is outside of the words. Okay, so first step, listen. Then share back is what you said. Like if I've listened, I can, we have a luxury of playing back what I've heard and being very transparent to you so that we can agree on what was said and what's state of the nation, if you will.
Yeah, and then explain the why you're in business.
Say more about the why, because So little leaders, I think, focus on the why, or for a very short period of time, and they think, I've said it.
Well, I mean, I've learned this from one of my ex-boss. She used to run US. And there's a lot of textbooks around this, Chloe, right? People don't follow the what. People don't follow the how. People follow the why. And so that's the first thing, right? The second is when you think you're tired of explaining the why, guess what?
Do it again.
Do it again. And what does that mean for people? One of our biggest challenges we face globally, individually, in this society is think beyond yourself. Think about the bigger purpose you have in life and the bigger purpose of why you work. And it's about the why. So, we have many conversations on this. I brought patients on stage like I used to do in Canada and Australia. We did the same in Japan. Many, many times, bring it back to the why and our values and expectation. What's acceptable and what's not acceptable?
I love the way you frame it. People follow the why. And so I have a different way of showing it in the book, which is the decision pyramid, where I say, as a leader, you need to be bang on why and where we're going. The rest you can leave to your team, because when this is so strong, they'll figure it out. I mean, you can help them, you can support them, you can coach them. But if that is really strong, then to your point, they will follow it because they know the destination and they know the reason. And that's the motivation part.
Right.
So how do you communicate that in a way that's clear for everybody if you have 4,000 employees?
There's no secret. It's small group by small group. When I do town hall, there are 4,000, right? And I take the time to have the right visual. And we talk about our success and lessons learned during our town hall. And people talk about what difference they make to the why, the patients, right? So it's just repetition, different angle. You do it, lead by example. It takes time. The journey in Canada to change the culture in Canada took me 5 years. Australia took me 4 years, right? 3.5 years. Here I've said to everyone, it's going to be between 5 and 6 years. It takes time. You got to be persistent, consistent on it. That's very important.
Earlier, you talked about ComSales and the whole framework that comes with this way of working that you're bringing in. Say more about that, those ComSales and the philosophy behind it, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, ComSales, the concept is Gemba, continuous improvement, invented by a Brit in 1937. And guess who embraced this? Japan, right? So if you recall, in the 1980s, they create a bit positive disturbance in globally with the car industry. So in Japan, they know how to improve things, right? They do Gemba.
The Six Sigma way of doing it.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And we've used that in Canada. We did ComSales. So what is a ComSales? It's cross-functionally, you get together on a weekly, on a daily basis. If you're in a manufacturing site, you're going to do it on a daily basis. And you talk about the issues, right? And depending on the size of the issue, you escalate your issue. It's an opportunity to get together and address things. Good news, my oldest daughter said to me that now they're using Lean Six Sigma in hospital. Okay. It's about time,
I
right?
I saw that, yeah.
So it's an opportunity to actually escalate the issues and track how you're doing against metrics. Mm-hmm. By the way, funny it is, COVID-19 in our case in Japan, GSK Japan, did not impact us in terms of doing the work we need to do. It's not because we don't see each other face to face that it stopped us of doing the work. We've talked about it pre this discussion. Why? Because we have specific metrics and we make people accountable and we talk about it on a weekly basis. And the beauty is if people have issues, they could raise them to the executive team if they need it. And we're going to fix it quickly. So for me, this is the beauty about it is opportunity to be transparent about our metrics. But here's another one. One of the assumptions that everyone has about Japanese is that Japanese people don't speak up. Well, as I said, they do. And during ComSales, we do make sure that everyone has a voice. And we're able to hear from different people about the same issue, their perspective. So it's a beautiful instrument. It's very simple. Look at Lean Six Sigma. Please roll out this in your businesses. You will find that it's good impact on our people and our business. Yeah.
And you can keep it simple because obviously Six Sigma ways of doing is very systematic and very specific, but you can do it very simply in just saying 15 minutes every day. We're going to say, what's the issue? How can I help you? What, you know, what's stopping you from getting to from A to B? It can be as simple as that, but it gives, to your point, the perspective on the whole 360 operations of a project, for example.
Right.
So they do speak up. How do they speak up? How do you get them to speak up and be transparent and be honest and be completely open?
Well, again, it takes time, right? Back to the listen and learn tour. Did I listen to them while they were speaking? Oh, by the way, I always, do you remember, I was taking notes back of a napkin, right? Things don't change, right? Oh, he was taking notes while I was speaking. He listened. Okay. Then he follow up. Follow up means he will tell you if he does implement or not. And if he doesn't, he will tell you why. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then there's a payback. People say, okay, it's okay that I speak up because someone will take action on it. But you got to create an environment of trust too, like I said. So if people speak up and they tell you some things that you don't want to hear, what's your reaction? Mm-hmm. What's your body language? If it's bad, you're going to shut it out, right, very quickly. So what we decided to do also over time is that as executive team in Japan, we create this as a team norm. Believe it or not, after every meeting, we are now having someone who provide observation of our meeting, and the person who will tell us if we challenge each other's enough. Can you believe? We're in Japan. Amazing. We are measuring ourselves if we're challenging ourselves for the right reason, for the good topics, enough. It's beautiful. Fantastic. So they do speak up. You got to create the right environment. You got to be a role model of it. I mean, think about it. People are speaking up in town halls.
In front of 4,000 people.
Right. That's, yeah, that's impressive.
That's a very good KPI measurement for you, Paul. Definitely.
Think so.
Yeah. And I've seen you. I've seen you in town halls. I've seen you in many instances where people were had different views or views that were complementary to what you were bringing. And it every time you took it as it was, which was a demonstration of someone that intended good for the business, wanting to bring something to the table.
Absolutely. And don't get me wrong. I mean, of course, there's a team behind it. So I pushed for 3-4 months. Then after I decided I was going to stay, to use the expression, in the bus and not. And then you got to be able to accelerate this and rally yourself with people who understand the journey and wants to push for it. I mean, our latest journey is an interesting one. So people, I think they're speaking up more than ever. And our next journey now is to increase capability for our leaders.
What does that mean?
Do you know, people in Japan here, like in Canada, Australia, anywhere, they want to grow. The sales rep who he wants to become a better sales rep. It's the nature of the beast. Mm-hmm. And it's not different. So when you show the potential about getting feedback, by the way, that was not a culture that we have here, mm-hmm. the positive element of getting feedback and improving yourself, it's phenomenal. So as soon as they see the potential, they expect more from their leaders, which is great. Mm-hmm. So I got to tell you a story about the 180 feedback. 180 feedback, Chloe, is a tool that we use at GSK where the direct reports are providing you feedback. So in 2018, when I started, of course, in Japan, employees provide feedback to their manager and it's green everywhere on all the questions. My boss is perfect, right? And I'm like, no way, ain't going to happen that way.
By the way, you don't like green that much. I mean,
no, you want coffee. That's a good point. You know what? And who's green? No one is green, right?
Not on everything, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyhow, I said, this doesn't work. And then the second 180 was the same. I said, I lift the mirror to myself. I said, what I've done actually to improve that culture about it's okay to share feedback to your manager. It's okay as a leader that you actually, it's more Christmas colors, right? Bit of red, bit of yellow, and a bit of green. And that's okay. Of course, you need to have a bit more green. So I decided to make a bold move one morning. Boom, published on the workplace, which is the tool that we use. So social tool. I put my 180 on it. And then suddenly my Japanese colleagues go, Paul Sand put his 180. So I've demystified the fact that it's okay to talk about it. So again, another lessons learned, you got to lead by example, right? So.
And back to the growth mindset. I think that's an amazing example of that growth mindset. And my assumption, at least, is that the Japanese culture is very aligned with the fixed mindset in a way, in the sense that they want to showcase that they're perfect. But that's not only in Japan. I mean, a lot of leaders are stuck in that mindset and that feeling of not wanting to show that they have flaws or that they need to grow on certain aspects. And what you're talking about is, it's okay. That's part of the journey.
Exactly.
Yeah. So feedback, how do we give feedback in order to create that? In order for it to be a component of growth rather than a way of judging you for not being good enough?
I'm trying over the years to demystify the feedback. I do a lot of, and some of my ex-colleagues in Canada will laugh, but I do a lot of feedback in the moment, right? That's who I am. Of course, when it's not confidential, and of course, when it's not too sensitive, but when you feel that actually everyone saw it, and even though they didn't see it, I just provide feedback in the moment and always leverage one or two person around my executive team to do the same with me because I know they're comfortable with me. Feedback has to be demystified, right? I don't like the concept about providing feedback every quarter, every six months. To me, it doesn't work. A principle that is close to my heart is when you do the final review to an employee at the end of the year, there should be no surprises. Zero. I'll give you another technique that I do. I love. Every time that I sit down with a direct reports, let's say every 6 months, and we talk about the mid-year review, we discuss, I ask questions. And who does summarize the discussion? Me? The employee. And why? Because the employee suddenly shifts from listening mode to listen and be engaged and owning the feedback by writing down his or her understanding and what she's going to do about it. It's beautiful.
And it assures that you are both aligned on it.
Exactly. Otherwise, if I write the feedback to you, he's going, I didn't say that. Well, you write it. It's beautiful. It works. It works nicely. Making sure people own their own development. Of course, you're there. It's very important.
So based on that, we could segue to a bit of coaching because, as I said, you can talk about anything with you on leadership. And as you know, the third step in the 5C model is actually, and perhaps that's a link with what you said earlier around equipping your managers is coaching as a leader. Coaching is such an important tool if you want to support your team grow. How do you use coaching?
Many ways. I do reverse mentoring. I love to have people at different grade level. I build trust and I give them permission to coach me. Beautiful. Once you get this trust established, you get a lot of colors, right? So from different perspective.
So you'll get someone first, for example, a first line manager coming to you and saying, Paul, this is what I've noticed and so forth
right.
And so on. Yeah.
So I established the ground rules. I established a principle. This is what I expect from you. First few rounds are not very, productive, but after they do get. For me, reverse mentoring, this is a good approach that I use. I read a lot. I haven't changed. I read a book every 3 weeks. This has helped me a lot to reflect on what I need. So what I do is I think about the areas that I need to improve myself or to become even better. And then I will pick a book around this topic to help me out. And then what I do, which is I learn in UK, I socialize things. For example, in regards to COVID-19, I reflected a lot about what would be the best approach to handle that situation. And I came up with some ideas. And one of them was to over-communicate with employees. And I knew my strength and my weaknesses about it. And I socialized with some of people who are close and others. And then we came up with a plan. This is how I own my development. And then I seek help to the people that could help me out. I use my 180 quite a lot. I've learned with the 180, you've got to pay attention to what kind of noise you will listen. Mm-hmm. If you have four reds in your 180, you can't manage the four.
Mm-hmm. Pick one. Choose. Yeah.
Yeah. In Japan also, once you pick one, ask the people, okay, you give me 2 out of 5 here. Let's review together that question. What does that mean? That's a big learning that I had last year. People on the same questions, they have different understanding. So therefore, before you start working to improve your behavior on a question, ask them, make sure there's a consensus about the interpretation of the question. Not sure this is applicable to other countries, but in Japan, it's quite important. So,
and maybe to confirm, what would it mean to be a 3, a 4 out of a 5?
It means this.
Yes.
What success looks like.
Yes.
And then I have debate with them. I have debate because their success, in a way, I disagree with their success. Mm-hmm. Then we have to speak about managing expectation. Mm-hmm. So the example that they gave me is to drive more performance in the business, which is okay as a feedback. Got it. What does that mean? So we came up with some clarity around it. But then after, success for them was to define that Paul will drive the business. No. And then, no. I'm not here to push all the time. So it helps to actually set up expectation.
So you talk about pushing, which is the absolute reverse than coaching, which is igniting, right, which is pulling, yeah, from someone, right, their potential, right, their answers, whatever they've got inside of them. I've seen, right, you ask amazing questions and stay silent after you've asked the question, which is
something. Chloe, you remember everything.
I've learned a lot from you, Paul. Really, I've learned a ton. And obviously, it was a passion of mine. It still is, obviously. So how do you craft your questions, or how do you approach questions?
I mean, you got to know your business. You got to be able to reflect on it. I prepare a lot of myself for questions. You know the Chinese proverb, right? I could go and buy you a fish, or I could teach you how to fish. And I, back to this, I strongly believe that one of the best ways is to create an environment where you have insightful questions. Lessons learned about asking questions here in Japan, Chloe. In Japan, the students at school, when the professor asks questions, you always need to have the right answer.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it took me 2 years to understand that. And I forgot some lesson I didn't know. So now when I ask the question, I said, don't need perfect answer. Just got the feeling. And then we start the dialogue. And I'm not sure, maybe this is applicable to other markets too. People have a tendency, what should I answer? What exactly he wants to hear? No, the beauty is we're all different. We want to see people be you, be authentic. So say what you have to say about it. And if you're reflective, you don't answer. Silent is not acceptable. What you have to say, I don't understand the questions, or I need more time to think about it. Mm-hmm. But everyone has an opinion, right? Yeah. And that's what I've communicated to my colleagues here. So insightful question. I'm glad you remember that.
And Benjamin Zander, The Art of Possibility, which I'm sure you've read. Benjamin, I talked of him as I know him, but he talks about giving everybody an A, meaning there's no worry. We don't have to worry about getting that grade that we're looking for. And as I was listening to you, it made me think of that. We're not there to have a grade to be perfect. We're here to contribute, is what I'm hearing.
And once everyone contributes, the collective contribution makes, you know, the solution better. And if just someone, there are some people that, you know, they come out of the gate very quickly with some answers. And I remember, and there's some of my team, right? CMSN don't understand the question. And then people, and then we go back, right? So, yeah, very important.
That's a beauty in itself, having someone say, I don't understand. Yeah, it means that you haven't done something right.
Power of diversity is amazing.
So my last question before I get into my 1 minute question, which is GSK is highly involved in trying to find a COVID-19 vaccine. And I would be amiss if I didn't ask you any questions on whatever it is that you can share. Obviously, you can't share everything. Yeah. But what is it that you can share at this point?
Boy, that's topic du jour. Huh? Mm-hmm. So first of all, I would say this is not the time to compete. This is the time to collaborate. 7 billion people across the world. We need many companies to produce, manufacture vaccines. Not the time to compete. And in that context, you know, I'm of course biased, but I love the partnership here with Sanofi we have globally. Same thing with Astra. So this is beautiful to see that companies are able to work together for a fundamental mission. And what I love about it at the moment is that the progress we're making at the moment in a year, it usually takes 10 years for us, the industry, to get there. Of course, we get amazing support from regulators around the globe to facilitate the clinical trial process. But think about it. This will become potentially a blueprint for potential next medicines or vaccines that we have to develop. There will be a lot of lessons learned. One of the things we notice over the years is that, sorry for the expression, but there's a lack of harmonization of clinical trial, right? One country expect X, country B expect Y. Makes our job very difficult. In that context, because of sense of urgency, there's a huge harmonization. So it's phenomenal, right? In terms of the progress we're making, but still it's not fast enough. We need to do more. And I'm pleased to see there are companies that I think will come with vaccines shortly. GSK is taking a different approach. We believe this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And we build expertise with vaccines, with Sanofi, and our aim is to get the best vaccine. And let me tell you a bit a story about this one, that we have to be very careful. If you've seen in Hong Kong a few weeks ago, they are thinking that the virus already start to mutate. In other words, virus changes personality in a way. So the trouble is, if this is true, some of the vaccines that we will produce will be aligned to the current personality. But if the virus change, mutate, it will be less, we will see less efficacy with the new virus, with the vaccines. And what we're trying to do, GSK and other companies, is to have a vaccines that offer you a protection, even though that the virus mutate. So that's what we're working hard on it. So far, it looks like that the mortality, percentage of mortality per population is well controlled, TBD. So we're committed. I mean, by September 21, we said to the street that we'll have our vaccines available. And listen, maybe as an industry, we could get 2.5, 3 billion doses by December 21. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, this is going to be a vaccines with two doses. And I hope that the first batch of vaccines will go to healthcare workers. So this is something that, if you go back to my mission statement, which is making a difference to healthcare systems, I'm working very hard here in Japan. We just signed an important deal with a Japanese company to produce these two components of our vaccines, antigen and the adjuvant. And we just signed a deal with them, working with the government to get that here. From a business point of view, they're still aiming to have the Olympics. Mm-hmm. They will still call it the Olympics 20. It's going to be in 21. So they want to be in good shape, typical Japanese, rightly so. So, yeah. And listen, I've learned that over the years at GSK, maybe it's applicable in other companies like Chloe, but people work so well as a team when we have a sense of urgency. It's phenomenal.
A sense of purpose. Also.
Sense of purpose and a sense of urgency. Thank you. Back to the why. So for me, it's again, privileged to be here, privileged to work with my Japanese colleagues.
And making that difference, which is, and segueing, thank you for this update, by the way, Paul. I really appreciate it and giving us that global perspective. And to your point, we need to come together, not only for COVID, but as a planet. I think the message that the planet is sending us is we need to come together on important matters. I'm not going to name them because we all know what it is, but we need to come together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as human beings.
Hey, by the way, before we close, I just want to say I'm so proud of you. I haven't seen you for a long time. And I remember the day you left GSK to start your own business as a GC is going to be successful. And seeing you publishing a book and your business is doing well after so many years on it, I'm so, so thrilled, so happy for you and proud of you.
Thank you. And you know that there's a lot in you, a lot of you in that. And I want to say thank you, Paul. Thank you a lot. Thank you so much. I have a couple of questions before we close. That's the 1 minute question.
Okay.
Your unique strategic contribution. You said earlier, my mission is to help the healthcare system. When you think of you as the GM of GSK Japan or wherever in the world that you are, you know, depending on the timing of it, what's the one thing that really you need to do and be in order to live to that mission?
See, my job is simple in a way. I'm helping people to do their job. I'm not accountable of the customer relationship. I'm not accountable for clinical trial. I'm not accountable for manufacturing. I'm accountable of helping leaders to do their job, right? And if it means that I need to lead by example, if it means that I need to ask better questions, if it means that's what I do, that's my job. And I do it in a sector that I love, healthcare. Mm-hmm. It speaks about sustainability. And there's a lot of component into it, as you know me very well, about making the next generation better, right? I want to help leaders to become better leaders. And that's my job, helping people to do their jobs. Very simple. I could make it more complicated, but that's what I do.
I love it. Simple is great. What is your one tip to empowering your team? One tip. You've gave a lot, but one tip to empower your team.
I would say empowering a team is... don't hesitate to, I use a 4-box matrix on this, right? Depending on the capability of the team or the individual, depending on, I'm looking at your face, you like this one, depending on the opportunity and the risk, then make a decision according to this. So if you have someone super competent, right, the person could take more according to the risk or the opportunity. If you have someone less, the opposite. But I would suggest call it in advance. So what I do with my colleagues on this, I said, listen, we know we want to work on this element with you. So I'll let you present. If we fail, if we make mistake, no big impact on the business, no big impact on your reputation, but positive aspect, we will learn out of it. And I will support you behind the scene. Don't hesitate to experience. Don't hesitate to make mistake, to learn from it, see it live, right? And be there to support. And again, like I said, in town hall, we talk about success, lessons learned, and mistake. That's okay. Repeating the same mistake multiple times, no. So just go do it and lead by example, right? Show also that you're doing too, right? You're learning about this. So talking about it, being transparent about it, that's the way to go, I would say, over the years.
What's the one recommendation you would make to a leader that wants to raise their game, that wants to go to the next level?
Now, I said to you, I read a bit. At the moment, I'm big fan about some common trend in California, for example. And they talk about neuroplasticity. So this is phenomenal. This is phenomenal in terms of the ability to raise your bar. Mm-hmm. And exactly. So what they do talk about it, and I'm still practicing this for the last year or so. It's not easy. But you see, I love to meditate. You remember that, right? So now I meditate with the spirit about a vision in mind. So clarify, be specific about what you're aiming for. How do you see yourself in 5 years' time? How do you see yourself in 10 years' time? Who are you going to be? You meditate, you visualize who you want to be, and then take the actions around this. Because neuroplasticity, take the time to read it, it's phenomenal, right? Because if you always keep repeating the same behavior, guess what? You become predictable. If you always just have the same thoughts, you become predictable. So you know what you're going to end up with. So raise your bar. Think about, reflect a lot about who you want to be. Take the actions. And I'm learning again, right? In Japan, I'm learning again. Read books. Think about what I want to do. Vision myself. And it's a pleasure, right? This continuous improvement, this beautiful journey.
And how would you summarize leadership in 3 words?
Leadership in 3 words. Having a succession plan, right? A successor. Developing your talent around that. I would say be ability to listen, right? 2 ears, 1 mouth. There's a ratio there, right? And C, you got to make the tough calls when you need it. So if you don't, you impact employees, right? I don't think, for example, with COVID-19, that we should stop ourselves of making difficult decisions about termination, closing some plants, because we have to think about the future of our employees and also the company. So, yeah, that comes to mind. You're asking a good question.
Thank you.
You haven't changed.
I love you, Paul. I really do. And I think people that will listen to this podcast will actually go back to it many, many times. I actually invite you to do that because there are so many great tools, tips, insights that you'll want to go back to this podcast. So take notes if you haven't as you listen back, because your answers are full of wisdom, full of experience, and full of genuine intention, Paul. And I really want to recommend and see that in you and allow everybody to see that, because you're an amazing leader. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. I really enjoyed chatting and seeing you. It's been a while, as I said. So all the best, and let's stay in touch. And félicitations. I'm really proud of you. Congratulations.
Thanks for listening to this Empower Your Team podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it and can take away powerful tools and ideas. For more free content, events, and development tools, visit our website at empoweryourteam.com or on our LinkedIn or Facebook pages. And be sure to sign up for our newsletter to continue receiving Empower Your Team content and insights.